It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Renee Montaigne is in Afghanistan. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Green. Let's follow up now on two nations that have changed their governments during what's known as the Arab Spring. Both nations face the problem of what to do with their former leaders. Libya's Muammar Gaddafi is still in hiding, and in a moment we'll have an update on the effort to bring order there.
We start with the trial of Egypt's former president, Hosni Mubarak. He is charged with ordering the shooting of protesters. But witnesses so far have not said he did it. NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson is covering this story from Cairo. Hi, Soraya.
Hi, Steve.
So these are prosecution witnesses now who are not backing up the prosecution's claim, their allegation that Mubarak was responsible for the deaths of hundreds of people. What's going on?
Well, it certainly must be a great disappointment to the prosecutors, because witness after witness since starting on Monday and continuing today has gotten up there and said, we had no orders to shoot live ammunition at protesters. We were told to use water cannons, tear gas, rubber bullets. And in fact, if anybody was cited for an order, it was the head of the General Security Forces, a guy by the name of Ramzi. But then what was surprising today is with this continuing is that the prosecutors finally got fed up.
Fed up, and so what did they do?
Well, they asked the judge to cite the fifth witness, basically the first witness today, for perjury. This was a major or a captain, depending on what accounts you read, because we're getting this via tweets from inside the courtroom. A captain or major by the name of Mohammed Abdul Hakim Amar, who was testifying basically in contradiction to what he had told prosecutors before. He claimed he didn't know of any shoot-to-kill orders either, and that he only saw that live ammunition was being used based on what he was watching on television. And again, claimed no knowledge of any orders coming down from the Interior Minister, because, I mean, even though the order perhaps wouldn't have come directly to these officers from Mubarak, if it came from the Interior Minister, then by implication, Mubarak would also be involved. So this witness was, in fact, taken into custody, ordered by the judge, taken into custody for perjury.
So it sounds like the suspicion of the prosecutors is that witness after witness either changed their story or were persuaded to change the story.
Yes, it's unclear. I mean, this certainly is what people are saying, not just prosecutors, but people in the courtroom, civil rights lawyers, representatives for the families of the victims. They feel there's either being pressure brought to bear on these security force witnesses or that, in fact, they are conspiring in some way. One has to remember that if they implicate themselves by saying, yes, we did shoot people or we did pass on this order to shoot people, that they themselves could face the death penalty, which is what Mubarak and his interior minister face if implicated in these deaths.
Well, going into this trial, how much confidence was there in the justice system, confidence that they could handle a case like this in a competent way?
Well, there were certainly some concerns given the fact that this whole system of government and jurisprudence here in Egypt is something that's been developed under the umbrella of Mubarak during his 3 decades of rule here. But people have faith in this judge. He seems to be somebody who's considered very honest, and he's been trying to get control of this courtroom, which has become quite a circus.
A circus, but no longer a televised circus.
That's true. The judge has not gone against his earlier decision to no longer televise these proceedings. The one on Monday was not broadcast, and the one today is not being broadcast either. But people, I mean, it's not a closed-door hearing in the sense that nobody is allowed to get in. If you're able to persuade the authorities that you have business there, and this would be civil rights lawyers, it's including some journalists, in fact, they have been inside, and they are using their phones to send updates via Twitter, messages, emails, that sort of thing. I mean, Twitter seems to be the main tool that's being used right now to keep those of us outside apprised of what's going on.
And very briefly, there were already high emotions around this trial. The apparent catastrophe of the prosecution's case, at least so far, has got to make the emotions run even higher.
We talked to one father today who lost a 10-year-old son who apparently was shot by police during the attacks on protesters. And he was so angry and he says that he doesn't trust this trial anymore and that he's planning to take justice into his own hands.
NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson is in Cairo. Soraya, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Steve.